that. Participation on pledge cards. If you've got a pledge card, but maybe you've got it at home and you haven't filled it out, there are some in the pews. And go ahead and just fill that out. Even if you know you're given, you know, $5 a week, that's all you can do. Just fill that out for participation so we have an idea of what we want to budget. Finance is trying to keep Renee from spending a lot of money. Just kidding. It's not Renee. You know, it really will help to get a sense from the congregation of what we're going to have coming in so that they can make a better informed decision. So if you keep leaving it at home and you're going, oh my God, I keep forgetting it, just grab one of the cards and you can drop it off with the ushers in the back. You can put it, drop it off with the sound guys in the back, just however you want to do it. Or look for Brian at the back, because Brian's the one who's really interested. So anyway, thank y'all. Kim, you want to work your way up? I think missions might have an announcement or two. I see one in the thing, but I'm assuming you're going to talk to them.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Lots and lots and lots of stuff going on in the life of the church, and just wanted to share a few things with you guys. Starting tomorrow, February 25th, it's just one day, we have the privilege of feeding the staff and teachers over at Hanley. We're going to be feeding them breakfast. I would love for anybody to come and help. Meet here at 6:30 in the morning. I know that's a little early, but just look at what they do for our kids. And that's all I got to say. They are just amazing, and they give so much of themselves. And I know that we probably have a lot of teachers in the congregation and some retired teachers, but as you guys know, it's not just something that you just go and you the school day and that's it. So there's a lot of preparation. So this is just our way to give back to them and let them know that we support them. So if you want to help us tomorrow morning, meet here at the church at 6:30. Then we're going to be over at the school at 7 o'clock, be set up, ready to serve the teachers. And I think that's just a great opportunity that they have allowed us to do. Moving on, I know that you guys have seen some of the dates up here on the screen. If you'll mark March 16th, that is going to be our food bank work day. Cool thing is that they've moved to Plano, so it's a lot closer for us. And we will do, again, the morning shift from 9 to 11:30. If you do want a caravan out there, just be here at 8 o'clock, and we'll shoot on out there. Lots of stuff, again, going on. If you'll circle April 27th, that's going to be our craft fair. That's our main fundraiser for the year. We actually have two, one in the spring and one in the fall. So we'd love for everybody to come out and support the vendors there. And then I'm going to switch hats real quick and let you know that on April 13th, we're going to have our ladies retreat. And it's going to be a one-day retreat. It'll be here at the church from 9 to 4. We have just a great lineup for you guys. I think you'll really enjoy it. Ladies, you will have babes for lunch. So if that entices you, we'll be set up right out here in the hall. Babes, oh, chicken. Babes fried chicken. It's a restaurant. Oh my goodness. You have never had him, never taken him to Babes? Oh, he has? Okay, he doesn't remember. Okay, got it. It's okay. But the price of the day is $25, and it's just going to be a day full of worship and celebration as we prepare for Holy Week. I believe that's the ones that I have. And if you have any questions, feel free to see me, email me, call me. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Last announcement I have is the special conference started yesterday, where they're going and looking at the church and some big issues that they have to discuss. I wanted to let y'all know that day one was dedicated to prayer. So they really actually, no controversy or anything happened yesterday. They just had a bunch of people praying about the outcome, what's going to happen. There's going to be more stuff coming up and more information that we'll get to the congregation. There are also some websites. I think we sent out some information in an email earlier this week, so you can follow along today if you want to. but we will be keeping you informed on that. Renee, did you have something?
We had a lot of announcements today, and for those of you who are visiting, we always start off the service with announcements. But I want to give a shout out to Norma Hartsdale. She's here with us today. Pretty amazing after that big surgery she just had. Look at her. She looks great right now. So, and her husband looks okay too, Dan. So I wanted to give them a shout out. And then we have special visitors with us today, Paul and Patricia Hubbard. I guess they're back over there, you guys, over there. And they're visiting with us, so we want to welcome you guys. I know we have some other visitors, and I probably forgot your name, and I apologize for that. But if we have other visitors with us, when we have our time of greeting, that'll be a good opportunity to go and introduce yourself. I know I'll do that myself. All right, the kids are in the back, and they're anxious to get going here and lighting our servant as acolytes, so we are ready to go, Carol.
Please stand as we begin our service this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us. Just help our whole being feel your Son this morning, and just fill us with your love and with your Spirit as we come into this worship service. Help us to be thankful for the blessings that you have given us. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. time. If we can have our children come forward, this is the time where they get to lead our church in our affirmation of faith, which basically kind of confirms what we believe and what we hold dear. We're on our own, man. It's just us. It's okay. I think we can do this. Hi. All right. It's okay. We're going to cheat on the screen. Okay? So, church, if you will join with us as our children have the opportunity to lead us in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Miss Jennifer and Miss Sharon out of here for our children's church.
All right, yes. So the kids are going to make their way to children's church. If you have kids or grandkids that would like to join them, well, please do so right now. They'll be well taken care of. They have a great program. So in our church, it's our tradition to have our greeting time at this time. And that means that we are all supposed to, you know, kind of pass the peace, so to speak, and greet each other. And again, be particularly attentive to those who may be visiting with us. And then the music will start, and that'll be your cue to kind of start making your way back to your pew. All right, let the greetings begin. Thank you.
may be seated as we continue to give our praise and our time and our thoughts to our Lord Jesus Christ. That we know that He is there whenever we need Him. And that is just the greatest promise to know that He is there. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without You, You're the one.
Contentment is never satisfied in the things this world offers that will fade away with time. Now more than ever, we must return to our first love and seek first His kingdom with our eyes fixed above all.
Thank you, choir. What a wonderful song. We move to that time of the service where we have our prayer time, our pastoral prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Just going to update you with a couple names here. We earlier mentioned Norma and how she's with us, so that's great. And also I wanted to let you know that I saw Jim Devenport this past week, Jim and Joyce. And he's coming along, and want y'all to know that, you know, as soon as he is able, he should be back in the choir, or at least we think so anyway. And but he's in good spirits, and I know there's some of you have been concerned about Jim and Joyce. Also, I just received a note here from Megan. Her husband, Eric Kreiner, is going to be having surgery next week, right? March 7th, a couple of weeks. First time going under. Well, I bet a lot of us can talk to him about that experience. So thank you for sharing that. We'll definitely put him on the prayer list. And let's see, Earl Harris, he's not with us still. I've seen him as recently as well, and he and Diane are coming well, coming along, and they're getting better as well. I think I mentioned last Sunday that Earl needs to build his immune system just a little bit more before he actually comes out and interacts with folks. So makes sense. All right, if you'll be in the spirit of prayer with me at this time, and we will go to the Lord. We come before you today rejoicing that you have called us to be the church. You have chosen us to be your own. You have challenged us to share your word with others. And through the Holy Spirit, you have empowered us to be agents of your grace. And while our mission is difficult, we pray that your guidance will lead us to make a difference in the lives of your children. Today, we especially pray for our larger church, the United Methodist Church. We pray for those delegates who will make decisions on behalf of our denomination. Help them to hold high their vision for a better church, a more impacting church, a life-changing church. And should we despair over dwindling vitality and the potential loss of some within our family, inspire us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Place before us a renewed church that seeks only to expand your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And lead us away from becoming cynical about the state of our church, and instead lead us into a state of hope that better days lie before us. Lord God, you call us to labor and to be about the tasks you design. You have equipped us to serve you, and you have cared for our needs. The gifts that we offer in our work is but a portion of the treasures that you heap upon us. May the work that we do be worthy of your name, and may the work that we do as a church be in glorification of your most precious name. We offer these words in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, as we come to this time in our service, we come as people remembering the sacrifice that you made for us. We come remembering your commandments to us to be fishers of men. Just as you've equipped us, Father, we go from this place in your name into this world that needs you so badly. And in this time, we give of ourselves, we give of our possessions, we give of our time to fulfill the great commission that you've given to St. Philip's United Methodist Church and to the broader global church, to be salt and light in this world. Father, help us to be people who love, people who give, and people who stand firm in our faith in you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I was reminded in the hallway on Sunday that I had not sung for someone's birthday. So, Lily, this is going to be for you. She asked me to sing Elvis. I'd like to tell you, I can't sing Elvis, but I'll sing the song, try to. I share with you a story about Memphis, Tennessee. And everybody knows what big mansion estate is in Memphis, do you not? It's called Graceland. A friend of mine, who was very young at the time, it's really funny, but I've got to get to it here. He was a assistant manager for Woolworth, and they got, yeah, it's an old name, right? They got together, he and his cohorts, and they had one of these do or dares. And they told him that he wouldn't swim in Elvis's pool. He said, yeah. So Joseph Paul Hatfield climbs the wall. I'm sure back then it was 1964, I think it was. It wasn't a very high wall at that time. And he went in for a dip. And Uncle Fester Presley, Elvis's uncle, who's in charge of security, said, young man, come with me. He said, I'm going to take you down the walkway or the roadway here. He said, I'm not calling the police this time, but next time I will. So Joe got away. And Paul Harvey says the rest of the story. He became president and CEO of Walmart China. So you young men out there, young ladies, if you want to swim in somebody's pool, you might turn out to be lucky. Okay. This is for you, Lily. Go with me to those good times now. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yeah, where the morning so bright and the Lamb is alive. And the night is as black as the sea. Oh, yeah. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolves, they'll be tame. And the lion shall lay down by the lamb, oh yeah. And the beast from the wild shall be led by the child. And I will be changed from this creature that I am, oh yeah. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace
in the valley for me. Oh Lord, we pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me.
That was awesome, Ronnie. Thank you so much for blessing us with your voice. I even heard the Jordanaires in the background. Did you hear them? Oh, we're so blessed by the wonderful musical talent we have in this church. I can't tell you how blessed we are. So, we're ready for our scripture reading.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, beginning chapter 6, verse 27. He said, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." These are the words of our Lord.
Thank you, Ben, for sharing those words. It's part of our lectionary reading for this week, and I struggled a little bit because I didn't know exactly what angle I was going to come from this lesson. We've all heard this lesson, those of us who have been going to church for a long time. And I also wanted to emphasize a little bit about what's going on in our denomination. And if you're visiting with us and not a Methodist, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But I wanted to address that as well, since we've been talking about that for several months. So today's message is a timely message because of the divided church and of our divided country. And even as I speak, as Mark mentioned to you earlier, the makeup of our large church may change or shift depending on what decision comes forth from what they call the General Conference or Special Call Conference. Some groups may actually split from the larger church, the larger denomination, depending on the outcome of these meetings. And the meetings conclude tomorrow evening, so many of us are anxiously waiting to see what's going to happen. I say that it is a timely message because Jesus offers a message that we often forget or ignore or just lose track of or whatever. Fortunately, the church has been civil in its debate on this issue, and the issue has to do with homosexuality within the larger church and where we as clergy and as a church can interact with that particular type of lifestyle, whether we should, whether we should not. So that's the issue. And the church has been, when I talk about the church, talking about the larger Methodist church, been very civil in their language and their discussion with one another, which is great. There's still the labeling of liberals and conservatives. There will always be that, you know. But at least there's not any other name-calling beyond just liberals and conservatives, really. So, and, you know, this is the way it should be, because the church should be the lead, or should take the lead in setting the example of the way to be in conversation about alternative viewpoints. Because we're all different, and we're all going to have different perspectives on life and different viewpoints, different conclusions. It's not really up to us to say that my conclusions, my perspective, is better than your perspective or your conclusion. That's not fair, is it? Is it fair? So just kind of go with me here. Okay. Now, we cannot say, however, that this process of debate and discussion has been exercised in our country's political environment. So I'm going to talk a little bit about politics. I don't want to make anybody nervous. And if you're trying to read which side I lean on, try not to do that. Just listen to the message. Politics, as I've discovered, as you know, is a normal expression of the human condition. It just happens. But it can be very vicious, and it can be damaging to a person's soul or their character. And with the dawn of social media, political agenda, whatever that political agenda can be very aggressive, and it can be very demeaning if you think in a different way or you have a different opinion. In today's polarizing environment, the nation is finding itself positioned either more to the left or more to the right, which concerns me, and it should concern you, as we're having this polarization of two cluster of people. It kind of wonders, where is it all going to end? Setting aside the political agenda of each party, there's a part of the political process that I disdain, and that is name-calling or labeling. I don't like that. You don't like that, or you shouldn't like that. Perhaps you're familiar with the old schoolyard game called King of the Hill. You remember King of the Hill? Did anybody play that? I was trying to remember how I played that as a kid. It seemed to me that the idea of King of the Hill is a person who's on top of a hill or a jungle gym or whatever they call it comes out as the winner. That's the winner of the game, right? And so in the process of playing King of the Hill, you're crawling on top of other people and pushing them aside and dragging them, and you're doing everything you can to be on top of this pile. So think about this for a moment. To win this game, someone has to step on somebody else to get to the top. Right? Is that a good lesson to teach our kids? It is on this stepping on top process where propaganda comes into play. For again, one group is seeking an advantage over another group, or higher ground, so to speak. So instead of physically crawling over each other in politics, there's a temptation to step on top of each other by the form of utilizing propaganda. So propaganda becomes a major communicative factor in manipulating the masses and winning others to the right side. So what is propaganda? In its basic form, you can look it up, but it's essentially propaganda is defined as misleading information used to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. And the propaganda process of demonizing some other group or person because they think, look, or act differently from us seems to be very wrong. It seems wrong. It feels wrong, at least from a Christian perspective. So let me share with you an example that I personally struggle with in my own theological reflections as a Christian. Today, as with recent years, the issue of immigration reform has been a top subject matter within our political arena and the general public as a whole. I think that most Americans have an interest in this area. Clearly, there has to be a set of guidelines or some sort of order when people come into our country. That's not the issue. I cringe when political leaders use propaganda to justify their viewpoints. For in propaganda, there's labeling and name-calling, and again, that's just not right. It's not Christian. Now, as a person of Hispanic descent myself, and as a Christian, it hurts me when some people broadly portray immigrants as criminals. Now, those of you from the Hispanic background, and I'm looking at somebody in particular, we've had to live with Hispanics either being portrayed as lazy, taking siestas, or as bandidos, which made me think of the Frito Bandito. Gosh. We really haven't had any positive role models except, hey, Pancho, hey, Cisco, whatever, the Cisco kid. What's that? Daro, yeah. Zorro. That's true. Zorro's going. Speedy Gonzalez, thank you for... thank you for comparing me to a rat or whatever it was. It seems like there's always people wanting to demonize other people who come into this country, and that offends me. Are there criminals that come in the country? Yes, of course there are, as there are criminals in every part of society, in every part of the world. I get that. But don't label a whole cluster of people as being demonic in some sort of way. Now, let's be clear. It's not wrong to be in discussion over immigration laws, right? That's not the issue. It's wrong when propaganda is used to highlight a point because it's wrong just to make up stuff that's not true. To make a blanket judgment on any group of people is wrong, period. And as Christians, we should call out those who stereotype others. Why? Because such judgments can lead to real destructive behavior. And we've seen this in our own history of the world. How the use of propaganda has produced all kinds of evil. So to highlight an extreme example that you're familiar with, one cannot help but to recall the propaganda campaign utilized by Germany's Nazi Party to win the approval, mind you, of a general population to discriminate against Jews. So after the Germans began World War II, with the invasion of Poland in 1939, the Nazi regime employed propaganda, that would be mistruths, lies, labeling, etc., to impress upon the German people, the civilians, the everyday you and I Joes, and its military, that the Jews were not only subhuman, but also dangerous enemies of the German Reich. And Nazi leaders did this by discrediting what? By opposing viewpoints, by burning books, by controlling the newspapers and the radio media sources, they utilized fear to stir up discord. The regime, again, sought to elicit support for policies aimed at removing Jews permanently from areas of German settlement, no matter where that German settlement was. And history tells us that a majority of the German people bought into Hitler's propaganda and even supported the removal of Jews by any means possible. We scratch our heads, right? When we see those old historical footage of this particular era of time, we just kind of go, how could that happen? How can that happen? It can happen. It can happen. I feel a similar tug when I hear some of our political discussions today. And that's what's upsetting to me. We should never name, call, or falsely categorize any group of people. In fact, Jesus taught us to take the opposite route when dealing with our neighbors. And that's what's hard. So when you were listening to Ben read the scripture today, did you think like, perhaps some, like I've thought, yeah, sure, how can I do that? That's impossible. Now, divisiveness is not something that occurs only in modern times. In fact, the times of Christ also saw much division within the people, right? Because Jews didn't often trust Gentiles. Jews didn't trust Romans, naturally because of Roman occupation during that particular time. And even within the Jewish community, there was division. The Zealots, for example, were a political movement during the time of Christ, which sought to incite the people of the Judean province to rebel against Roman Empire. And we know that didn't turn out very good. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, interesting enough, are two other Jewish political parties that sometimes clash. And to give you an example, in the book of Acts, the 23rd chapter, verse 9, it reads that there was a dispute that arose between these two groups, which led to a great uproar. And even within the Christian community, as we know, particularly if we were to read that first chapter of 1 Corinthians, we are also aware of the divisions that existed within even the new church. The divisions and divisiveness or whatever has been a source of contention for generations of time. But when the early church argued about that, I just thought to myself, did they lose sight of Jesus' message to love your enemies? Did they just lose sight? Did they just forget that? So today's message is timely for us because it encourages us to act in a way that is not natural for us. It encourages us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who care for us, pray for those who abuse us. Who can do that? We should try to do that, right? So let's dissect today's reading a bit in order to understand just what Jesus was teaching. His commandment to love your enemies was not a sentiment. It was, in fact, an intentional act to counter ignorance and negative attitudes. Are you hearing me, church? It was an intentional act to stop any negative attitudes that were surfacing about some other group of people. Love your enemies, those who think, look, act differently than you. His commandment to pray for those who abuse you was meant to counter any act of mistreatment in whatever forms may come to surface. His commandment to do unto others as you would have them do unto you simply meant that people should look at others as having the same wants and desires of life. Everybody has a common ground. Everybody has a common ground. And all these commandments have an underlying goal of trying to better understand others instead of being so divisive and separating ourselves from others. So the idea of loving your enemies is a goal for all of Jesus' followers to pursue, though it's a high goal. As someone once said, the great stars shine in the sky, but they are too high for us to touch them. I kind of thought about that for a minute, and then I thought about John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist church, and what he always talked about going on to perfection. John Wesley meant that he was expecting all Methodist people to at least reach for that star. It may be too high to actually grab, but at least reach to perfection is what he would say. Some may say Jesus called others names, and this is true. And when I first thought about that, you know, because I was learning this lesson, and I thought, well, Jesus certainly didn't call anybody else names. Yeah, he did. I can't deny that. I can't remember. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He called the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites. Those are just a couple of examples. So there's some names going on here. But let me just add this. Jesus, when he called out names, he was simply calling out the wrong behaviors, not the individual persons or the group of people, but wrong behaviors. And how do I know this? If we understand the meaning of the word brood, this makes sense. For brood represents malice. And Jesus was simply calling out malicious behavior that was wrong. Malicious behavior that was wrong. Not a viewpoint that was different, but something that was clearly wrong according to his standards. So where does this lead us? And the world is increasingly becoming more and more hostile. What role should we as Christians have in addressing this issue? How do we call out hate groups and yet love them at the same time? And by the way, just speaking of hate groups, did you see the report that came out this week about hate groups? It was given out by a nonprofit legal advocacy organization called Southern Poverty Law Center. Predominantly a minority organization to track the treatment of how minorities are treated. So this report showed, it just came out this week, this report showed that there were, in the United States, over 1,000 hate groups, or what they portray as hate groups, in the country. the largest groups, the largest number of hate groups can be found in California. So I guess one of the large states. The second largest state would be Florida. And the third would be Texas. Texas, in fact, 73 groups were identified as being housed home here in Texas. And if you were to read that report even closer, and we don't have time to get into all of it, some of those hate groups can be identified right here in our backyard. It's shocking. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe there's people who think like this that are my neighbors. And before you're tempted to think that all hate is directed towards African Americans, think again, because hate groups can be identified as anti-Muslim or anti-white or anti-LGBT, anti-whatever. Any group that hates another group is going to be labeled as a hate group. Now, the good news is, in that report, is that KKK membership has gone down. That's good. That's because they're all getting old and dying off. Yeah, there's no reason to join that group anymore and have those negative feelings that they once had. But still, this is a time of concern. And this is why our message today is so relevant. Instead of just tolerating such behaviors or sweeping them under the rug as if it doesn't exist, we need to be concerned about today's hostile environment. And the first step in addressing this issue begins with Jesus' model of how we should treat others. We can call out wrong behaviors, but we can also love those whom we call out. You ever thought about that? Much like a parent that's scolding a child, a parent doesn't hate that child. A parent loves that child and is scolding for a reason. Scolding to discourage bad behavior. Isn't that what we do with our kids when they were young? So to the credit of the larger United Methodist Church, we have done comparatively well considering what we're fighting against or what the issue is at hand. We have had our differences. And even as I say that, tomorrow watch, there's going to be this big explosion at the convention center and people will be throwing paper at each other and stuff like that. I hope not. We've had our differences, but we're still a part of one family. And hopefully our United Methodist Church will stay tacked for the most part. And I think it will. Personally, I think it will. But as for the rest of the nation, there's a lot of work to be done. So let's do all we can to love, reach out, and do unto others the lessons that Jesus gave to us, because it's our time. Our time, you and I, to help our world become a better, more civil place in which to live. Amen. All right, let me see if I can remember Carol. Sorry. For those of you who are visiting, Carol is my coach. She tells me she kind of helps and guides me. So before we have our next song, just wanted to offer the invitation. If any of you are interested in uniting with St. Philip's United Methodist Church, we would love to talk to you. Now remember, if you're not a Methodist and you join the Methodist Church, you join the Methodist Church, and the local church just becomes a stewardship of your records. So as I tell our confirmation kids sometimes, they can be in their home church at Highland Park United Methodist Church, right, on the campus of SMU, or they can be a member at Crum United Methodist Church, which, if you don't know where that is, it's out by Denton. That's right. It's not a crummy place. I just had to say that. But you join the United Methodist Church as a whole, meaning any Methodist church becomes your home church. We just would hold your records. If you'd like to know more about the faith, perhaps you've lost your way a little bit, as we all have. I'd like to kind of recenter. I'd be glad to talk with you, visit with you, or if you'd like, we can have time at the altar for prayer. We always invite people to come at the altar if they'd like to, if they feel so moved. If you want me to pray with you, just motion to me and I'd be glad to do that for you. All right, what are we going to sing now?
Please stand as we sing, "I Love to Tell the Story."
benediction today is a liturgy, if you will, that is appropriate for the conference that we're in right now in our larger church, and it may be used in some sort of setting in there in St. Louis while they meet. I thought I would share some of these words for you as we prepare to go our separate ways. Receive these words. When we have heart at peace, we see others as persons. When we have a heart of war, we see others as objects. When we see others as persons, we look for ways to help things go right. When we see others as objects, we exaggerate our differences. When we have a heart of peace, we admit that we may be part of the problem. When we have a heart of war, we see others as the problem. Carry, therefore, a heart of peace as you go forth from this place. Amen. All right, it's a custom now to sing one more sending song, and we ask that you join hands with your neighbor, unless you have a cold. Don't do that. Maybe put your hand on the shoulder or something. All right.